What follows is The Girl Who Remembered Too Much, written by Margaret W. Quill, narrated by Margaret W. Quill. The book opens now. Prologue. The closet smells like cedar and my mother's perfume, and the wool of winter coats I'm not tall enough to reach. I press my back against the wall where the baseboard meets the hardwood, knees tucked to my chin, both hands clamped over my mouth, the way Toby showed me when we played hide and seek last summer. Don't breathe, Goldie. Don't even blink. I'm blinking. I can't stop blinking. The crack between the door and its frame is the width of my pinky finger. Through it, I can see the hallway runner, the blue one with the cream zigzag pattern that Mom says is too nice for a rental, but she bought it anyway because it made her happy. I can see the bottom of the banister, one of the spindles loose where Toby leaned on it too hard 3 weeks ago. I can hear the fire before I see it. A hungry sound, a wet ripping sound, like Dad tearing into a Thanksgiving turkey, except wrong, all wrong, and the heat comes through the walls like the house is breathing it at me. They were in the kitchen. Mom was making coffee. Dad was saying something about the festival, about how the parade route got changed this year and it was going to be a mess. Normal voices. They're normal voices. Not even arguing. Then the front door opened. I was supposed to be asleep. It was past 10 and I had school tomorrow, third grade. Mrs. Missy? Pendergast, and we were supposed to bring in something that started with the letter C for show and tell, and I'd picked a conch shell from the trip to Cannon Beach last summer. I was supposed to be asleep, but I'd heard Toby's window creak open, the one over the porch roof, and I knew he was sneaking out again to meet Danny Fletcher down at the bogs. And I was going to catch him. I was going to have proof so he couldn't lie about it anymore. The front door opened and I heard boots. Heavy ones. Not Dad's work boots. Dad wore Red Wings with the steel toe, and these were different. A scrape-scrape on the welcome mat like someone wiping mud off. Mom said, "Can I help you?" Politely. She always started politely. Even when the Jehovah's Witnesses came, she'd offer them iced tea before she told them we were Baptist and not interested. No answer. Dad said, "Hey, whoa, hold on there." And then a sound I'd never heard before. A wet, short sound like a fist into a pumpkin. Then another. Then Mom screamed. It's the screaming that makes me press my hands harder against my mouth. Not my mother's voice anymore. Something else. Something that doesn't know words. Through the crack, I watched the hallway runner catch. The zigzag pattern, cream on blue, and then orange. The fringe curls black. The heat shimmers the air, warps the light, and I can't stop watching. I can't stop watching. A shadow falls across the burning runner. A man. Big. His boots are the kind with pointed toes, and the cuffs of his pants are dark, denim, or maybe canvas, and he's not running. He's walking. Slow, like he's got all the time in the world, and the fire is his business, and he's just checking on the work. He stops outside the closet door. I stop breathing. The crack is dark now, filled with his body. I can see the shape of him, the bulk of his shoulders, the way he stands with his weight on one leg, like something hurts. I can smell him through the crack. Smoke, but not the fire smoke. Cigarette smoke. And something else. Something chemical and sharp, like the cleaning solution Dad uses on the boat engine. He says, "I know you're in there, little bird." His voice is low, almost gentle, like he's talking to a spooked cat. "Come out and I'll make it quick. Stay in there and it'll be slow. Your choice." I can't move. My legs aren't mine. My arms aren't mine. My hands are over my mouth and I am not breathing and I am not making a sound. He moves. His hand comes down toward the crack, toward the door handle. I see his hand. Big hand. Knuckles thick. A ring on the middle finger. Silver or maybe gold in the firelight, with a dark space where a stone should be. Empty. Like a tooth missing, the handle turns. I don't scream. I don't make a sound. I just see the crack widen. See the light change. See his hand. And then another sound. Shouts from downstairs. Someone yelling, "Fire, fire, call it in," and the hand pauses. The ring glints. The man makes a sound, disappointed almost, like he'd been looking forward to something, and then he's gone. The boots scrape away. The shadow lifts. The hallway runner is a river of fire now. The banister is catching. The wallpaper is blistering. The roses curling black, and I can't breathe. I can't breathe. The smoke is finding me through the crack. Gray and thick and tasting like the inside of a chimney. Toby finds me. I don't know how long it's been. Minutes? Seconds? Forever. The closet door opens and he's there, crouching, his face streaked with soot, his red gold hair dark with sweat and ash. His eyes are wide and white and he's saying something. His mouth is moving, but I can't hear him over the roar.